Feel that way this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We have a few requests. We want to remember all those that were affected by the hurricane down in Florida. It's just complete devastation. And a lot of folks lost their home. A lot of people without power and water. And just want to remember them in prayer this morning. The Lord will be with each family. Also, we want to continue to remember Brother Ron Spencer in our prayers, Brother Daniel Gissendiner. Sister Carol was sick and not feeling well, so we remember her this morning. Brother Nathan Rice, this is a friend of Brother George. I think he had a heart attack, so we remember that brother and the family in prayer this morning. And I believe that's all the requests. But if you have something on your heart this morning, just make it known by an uplifted hand. God sees what our needs are, and He's here to answer those needs this morning. If we'll just only believe, all things are possible. Amen. Brother George, come this morning, if you will, buddy, and lead us in prayer.
Amen. Let's do a message on the way to church this morning. And Brother Bram's talking about how Samson had gotten, you know, he'd made his mistakes and had given away his secret. And he was standing there between two pillars, and prophet said that he had every muscle that he always had, but what was missing was the power of God. Amen. And that's what we need this morning, the power of God. Amen. Can we go to the Lord and ask for His power and His service today? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask You today, Lord, to anoint this service, Lord. Lord, just once more, Lord, we ask, oh God, that Your hand would come down, Lord. Lord, that You would anoint Your children today, Father. Lord, that You would anoint us to, Lord, to lift ourselves up, Lord, out of this muck and this mire that, Lord, that is the world today. But, Lord, that You'd help us to rise above these things of the world, Lord, and these tests and trials that we go through, Father. Lord, these prayer requests that's been made known, Lord, just once more, Lord, we ask You to move on the scene for each and every request, Lord. Lord, our minister brothers, Lord, that's struggling, Father. Lord, Brother Ron and Brother Daniel, Lord. And Lord, our pastor, Lord, the enemy just try to come against him, Lord. Lord, but this ministry can't be stopped, Lord. Just once more, Lord, we ask, oh God, that You would move on the scene, Lord, and heal, Lord, Your children, we pray. And Father God, we ask, Lord, for, Lord, those that, Lord, those unspoken requests that's in our heart, Lord. Lord, You know all about it. You know what we have need of, Lord. Just once more, Father, we pray that You'd move on the scene. And, Lord, we ask You to anoint the songs, Lord. Anoint Brother Mark as he, Lord, Lord, ministers in music today, Lord. As he sings the songs of praise, Lord. May we, Lord, sing from our hearts with him, Lord. May it not just be one man, Lord, but may it be the believers gathered together to worship today, Lord. And, Lord, we just pray You'd inhabit the praise of Your people today. Lord, we pray for Brother West today, Lord. We ask, oh God, that You'd move on the scene, Lord. And as he ministers the word, Lord, just once more, Lord, we pray You'd feed Your children today, Lord. And Lord, that we leave here today better than when we came for the hearing of the word of God. And we'll be sure to give You the praise and honor. And we'll be sure to bless Your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen and amen. God bless you now, Brother John.
Amen. You happy to be at church this morning? Amen. You can be seated for a moment. to bring confusion. We're not standing for the devil to bring evil thoughts in our minds. We're standing for the truth. We're here to worship. Are you here to worship? You feel the Spirit of God. He wants to dwell in our presence this morning. He wants to worship with us. He wants you to lose control a little bit and raise your hands. He wants you to sing. He wants you to say amen. Pull on Brother Wes, that gift that's in him. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed this morning. Amen, Brother Mark.
Appreciate that pep rally, my brother. Everybody will jump in behind this morning and worship the Lord. Listen. Well, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, wanting souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow, many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord, He leads me on, and through Him I must win. Yes, oh, I want to see Him, just to look up on His face. Oh, there to sing forever of His saving.
Here.
died for the tree. And then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. And now the Comforter, he abides in me. Oh, he abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter, he abides in me. And there's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up instantly. And all my night was turned to day, and all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter, he abides in me. Oh, he abides. He abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides. Make you happy this morning to know that the Comforter abides. He abides in you. And I heard something this past week and I thought, wow, that's very powerful. It said the thing that we should be concerned about the most is the thing that we're concerned of the least. And you know what that is? It's time. We just go along every day like we've got forever. You know, we don't have the promise that we'll make it out that door this morning. And every moment that we have, we ought to give all thanks to God and give him praise for it. Lord, just help me to do everything I can for your kingdom. Help me to take advantage of every moment. We just let it slip by and you're like, wow, where did that go? It goes so quick. Lord, help us to be a witness of your grace to the world this morning. I look for this morning in the service. I hadn't sung this old song in several years, but showers of blessing. Everybody help me sing today. Oh, there shall be showers of blessing, and this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, and it's sent from the Savior above. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again over the hills and over the hills and the valleys. A sound of abundance of rain. Oh, shall of blessing. How many desire the showers of blessing this morning? Send them upon us, O Lord. Let there be seasons refreshing. Sound of abundance of rain. Amen. I'm kind of homesick this morning.
Yes.
Well, I'm kind of homesick for a country.
Oh.
Aren't you looking forward to that? There my home shall be eternal. Sweet Beulah Land. We have our brothers to come this morning and receive the morning offering. You can have your seats. And you just give us, the Lord is blessed this morning. And don't forget the building fund offering is going to be this morning as well. If you have something that you would like to contribute to that, you can just make a special note on your check that that's what it's for. Or if you didn't think about it this morning, you can still PayPal it later and just give to the building funds today. We got our fall festival coming up on the 22nd of the month, and Sister Deanna would like to meet with all the sisters in the fellowship hall after church today concerning that, so let's remember that. I feel like I'm forgetting something this morning. The Lord bring it back to me. Amen. Brother Matt, would you go ahead and sing for us today? While you're up here.
Know that I'm not worthy to call upon your name, all my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Just hit bottom, and I'm looking up to see I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Yes, I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. Lord, you owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long. could you please come down to me?
We desire that this morning. Amen. Lord, please come down to us this morning. We need you. We need you like we've never needed you before. Amen. There's an old song. If you ever needed the Lord before, you sure do need him now. You sure do need him now. Oh, you sure do need him now. Well, if you ever needed the Lord, sure do need him now. You need him every day and every hour. Amen. We need him every day, every hour, every minute, every second. This morning we need him. And Brother Matt, to sing that song, maybe we want to sing this one. I pledge allegiance to the land with all of my strength, with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge
Jesus Christ. We're gathered today all because of him. The old song says, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. You need to seek a faith that is vertical, that is looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the things of this world is only temporal. All the trials and the cares of life is just baggage. You dropped out of time, highly into time from eternity. Praise God. And somewhere between 6 and 9, some morning, Hallelujah. We'll be snatched back up into a higher dimension, into the presence of the Lord. So I want you to do me a favor. Forget about your cares just for a moment. Nothing else matters. Jesus Christ is the ultimate. Hallelujah. Your feelings, your sickness, none of that. In God's presence, He's everything that you need. That's why we're here today. So good to be back in the house of the Lord with you. We were back in town. We thought we'll just swing by and have a little fellowship with the church. Say hello to everybody. Amen. And just let you know that we're still alive and well. And Ian couldn't touch us. Or Ivan. Or whatever his name is. Amen. Because we're stronger. It's going to take a stronger wind than this. Amen. As we're people of God in this age, we certainly appreciate the presence of the Lord. Didn't realize it, but this is the fall break, isn't it? When there is fall break, then there is fall break in the church as well. But that's all right. We have enough here to have church, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst to bless and to work amongst His people. Why are we here today? It's to lift up the name of Jesus. To let them know that we honor Him, and as the song says, we pledge our allegiance to Him and no one else. We love each other as humans, as friends, as pilgrim journeyers. But at the end of the day, we look to Him to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life. There's a little song we used to sing as the brethren would come. This is a tithe of first fruits. For you that are viewing online, streaming, the members of the congregation, you can give your giving, your tithing, and such like by PayPal. We shall see the King when He comes. Let's sing it. Put your hands together. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. You know why? Because He's coming in power. We're hailing that hour. And we shall see the King when He comes.
Oh, we shall see the King. Yes, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. He's gonna be coming in power. We will hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Let's sing it together now.
Welcome to all of you. So good to have Brother West with us here this morning. I intentionally invited him to be with us. And I know you hadn't heard me minister in a while, but I'm still on a break. Amen. I just came by to say hello. Amen. And let you know that Ian did not get me, okay? I'm here to love you and to let you know I appreciate you. I'm just home for a short time and I'll be gone again. So you might as well get used to that. Amen. I still love you. I'm to be seeing a doctor, Lord willing, trying to get some things going. If I can get in an appointment, still struggling tremendously. My adenoids, while I was away, had to go back to the doctor to get him looking at me. So I'm still recovering and such like. But I appreciate you holding the fourth. Now, I know when the cat's away, the mice will play. I'm not stupid. Amen. So when I get back in the full spring and start thundering from this pulpit, we're ironing it all out, okay? Right now, just hold on to it. You got it, right? You're holding, aren't you? You got some feelings, right? You're going to have to let go of it soon. Amen. We'll get it all straightened out by God's grace. We love Him. We appreciate you. Appreciate the Lord sending Brother Wes, Sister Lisa, and precious daughter. And also the mom and dad that is here. We keep saying mom and dad. What is your names? Ray and Betty, Brother Ray and Sister Betty, welcome, welcome. What a surprise for Brother West this morning, his precious in-law. So we're happy to have you in our gates. And Brother Wes has always been a blessing to us. Many of you may not know this, but he's pastoring now. And so he's taken on a different role in his ministry. And but I stole him from his church, I confessed. Okay, and I'm going to ask this congregation to forgive me. But I felt led to ask him to come and speak to us. And I'm sure he'll bless you this morning. Are you ready for the word today? God bless you. We love you all. And thank you so much for your continuing prayers for the many needs here. I've got a few more announcements I'll make after the service. Let's sing a song here now. Invite our brother to come. Hallelujah. Brother Rodney, so good to see you. I'll come down there and give you a good squeeze and hug. I love you. Air hug. Air fist pump. Five. God bless you. Loosen up a little. We're going to have a good time in the Lord this morning. Let's sing a song, Brother Mark.
Oh, Jesus, be
the Lord of all.
The Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all.
Yes, He is. We see that in your life. It's all about
Jesus.
It's not about anyone else. It's about Jesus Christ. God's servant, Brother Wes Willis.
My heart, oh Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all the
on. Do I need to push the button? Am I good? Okay. Can we go ahead and get this over with, brother? Thank you. Oh, y'all saw it. I've said that before, but you've seen it, so now I can take it off. I know I got one. It's such a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy coming to Murfreesboro so much. Such a gracious and loving congregation here, and kind and receptive, and you all always pull so hard. You make it so much easier to preach than you know. Most of my work's been with the youth, and they're sort of like a blank slate when you try to preach to them. They don't want to give you any indication and that you're getting in the door, and so they'll try to close up on you. But I like it when the saints are open and come here with the doors of their heart open, ready to receive the word, receive the Lord Jesus. Get a deeper revelation, grow closer to God. That's the most important thing. Most important thing. Whew. Ray and Betty, it's a huge surprise. Huge surprise. My father-in-law, when he agreed to give me my wife's hand, He became more than just a father-in-law to me. He's treated me better than a son. That man has been better to me than I deserved ever since I knew him. I've known him since I was 13 years old. Wonderful saint of God.
Amen.
Wonderful saint of God. I just love him so much. All right, I got to quit or I'm gonna cry my eyes off here. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18 for the opening scripture. Going to be speaking this morning about something that we're all very, very familiar with, something we all experience on daily basis. Letting off the pressure.
Yes,
see if we can let some pressure off this morning. That's what we come here for, right? Yes, sir. Proverbs 18:10. Then we'll be turning to Isaiah 32 next. But Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The righteous run into it. Isaiah 32. Let's do verse 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Let's bow our heads. Pray with me and for me, saints. Lord Jesus, I don't come here in vain. I come here to get out of the way, Father, to just be a vessel that you can speak through. Lord God, what good would it do if I got in your way and you didn't speak to the hearts of your people? What if I came with my own private agenda? If I came with some other reason, Lord, than to let your people feed on the word? What purpose would that serve, Lord Jesus? What good would that do? That would have no eternal merit whatsoever. Father, we trust you this morning. I feel the pull. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Ghost so far this morning. And I feel the pull, Lord Jesus. I feel your people as they reach to you, Lord, as they look to you for peace, Lord, in this dark and dying world. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence here. I ask your blessing on the reading and the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name, we believe and pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Goodness. You can be seated. St. Jerome of Stridon, he lived between 342 and 420. He lauds the prophet Isaiah, saying he was more of an evangelist than a prophet. You know, when you read Isaiah, it's really hard to look at, because it seems like he's looking back at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Like he's describing the events that they happened after they happened. And that's what he said. He described all the mysteries of the church of Christ so vividly that you would assume he was not prophesying about the future, but rather he was composing a history of past events. Yes. Of specific note are the songs of the suffering servant, which Christians say are a direct prophetic revelation of the nature, purpose, and detail of the death of Jesus Christ. Now here's what I would say. I would say Isaiah 32, 1 and 2 is the same thing. I would say it's just as prophetic. It's just as much like looking back on history as it was him looking forward prophetically, because it's so true to us. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. You know, when I look at this world around us and I see the problems and the turmoil of this world, I see the things and the struggles in the world around us and in the church itself. In the body of Christ, there's even struggles and things in this church. And I see that we serve a king of righteousness. Yes. When we look to him, everything else fades away. Right. And we're going to rule. We are ruling with him now. And we're going to rule more vividly in eternity. And to me, I look at this and I say, this brings me such hope. Because I know that this is the God I look to. This is the God I know. This is the one that's revealed himself to me. This is the one who all along my life has brought me from one step to the next to the That's next. Right. And he's led me by his righteousness. Yes. His righteousness. Right. I have none of my own. Nothing to speak of my own. It's his righteousness that's led me. That's right. Everything that he's done through my life, we look back and we say, well, we may not be where we want to be, but at least we're not where we were. But if you look at every step along the way, he has brought you each step through grace and mercy. You look back over your life and you say, what more love is there than the love of God? What greater love could there be that he has guided me in times when I was ignorant, when I was foolish, when I was outside of his will, when I was lost and undone? He brought me to his own feet and taught me the truth and showed me who I was. Showed me who I am in him. He showed me these things. And I didn't deserve any of it. I didn't deserve it the first bit. Not the first step on this journey did I deserve. Like I was talking about with my father-in-law. Had I been him at the time that I came to him and asked for my wife's hand, I would have said no. Get out of my house. Get away from me. I mean, he looked at me. I was a knucklehead. I was an assistant manager at a pizza place. I was a delivery boy. I mean, I wasn't anything. What could I offer his daughter? And on top of that, I was a knucklehead. I really was. I had no wisdom. I was as foolish as they come. That man loved me enough to give me his daughter. God loved me enough to give me a place in his kingdom. To show me the truth when I was in darkness, when my eyes were closed and I couldn't see anything, when I didn't know anything. He had mercy on me in love, and he showed me the way to truth. To truth in a land that's full of lies. The whole world's full of lies, bro. It's full. That's all there is lies. Lies, lies, lies. Hate, trouble, scorn, everything. This world's just full of it. But the love of Christ showed me something higher. It showed me something better. Showed me something I could hold on to. Something that gave me hope. When it looked like everything in the world was nothing but hate. And nothing but upside down. And nothing but wrong. Jesus came. He came on the scene. And he introduced me to himself. He had a meeting with me. With me. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. A man. The Lord Jesus, not an invisible spirit, but a man, a God with skin on it. We can look to Jesus, our brother. He called us brother. Can you imagine that? God humbling himself, humiliating himself down to the point where he would call us brother and die at the hands of his own friends. Die at the hands of his own friends. Counted himself among us. He said, I choose to take my place. I choose to take my place among those who have transgressed. I'll take my place beside of the transgressor. He chose to do that when we were still in our sin. He chose before the beginning of time to do that while we were there. And it's amazing to me. You know, we look at this world, and what I'm speaking on this morning is pressure. What is the escape? What's the way out? How do you get rid of the pressure? How do you get rid of the stress of daily life? What do you do? What do you do? Do you know? I want to read this list, and bear with me while I read this list. This is a list of things that stress and pressure cause on a human being. What it does to a human being. This is what science says. And we'll see, you know, because science always has to come up and back up what God says to begin with. They fight and they push and they try to escape and they try to say there is no God, and then they turn around and agree with his servants every time. It never fails. But it says that the effects of stress are headaches, dizziness, trouble sleeping, body aches and pains, appetite changes, upset stomach, constipation, diarrhea, problems concentrating or thinking clearly. It's funny, I stumbled when I said that. Anxiety, irritability, mood changes, low energy, troubles with intimacy. And what does science do to answer these things? Take a pill. Here's a pill. Here's a pill for your headache. Here's a pill if you're having trouble sleeping. Here's a pill for your body aches and pains. Here's something to increase your appetite if you don't have one. Here's something to slow it down if you're a glutton. You know, upset stomach, here's you a pill for that. We'll get rid of your acid and indigestion. Think about this as my hand fills up with pills. We'll skip the diarrhea and constipation part. Anxiety, irritability, mood changes, low energy. Let me ask you something. How many of you have suffered with any one of these this week? Let's not even go to this year. Let's go to this week. Okay, all right. So we're definitely in a pressure cooker, aren't we? We're in Satan's Eden. We're in a place where Satan has gotten everything just the way he wants it. Let me go on a little further for the long range problems that come with it. We've got heart disease, obesity, asthma, COPD, autoimmune disorders, diabetes. Now here's one. Science says that this is caused by stress and pressure. Cancer. Cancer. They're finally saying what the prophet said. Say what he said. You got the heathen saying what he said now. High blood pressure. Migraines. Now how about mental health? Let's look at the mental health. Let's see how many things you've been up here to the altar for that I read off this list. Mental health is, under that category, we've got depression, anxiety, substance abuse, eating disorders, bipolar disorder, panic disorders. They always want to treat the symptoms instead of treating the cause. We've got a God who takes us straight to the cause and says, here it is. If we kill this, if we take this on head on, and we challenge Satan on his own ground, we can break his power, and we can do this with this list. And it's over with. It's done. The list is over with. It's gone. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's where our refuge is. And you say, Brother Wes, you preach it with such, you know, you preach it with vigor. You preach it with excitement. But how do I do it? How do I do it? Well, you got to have a revelation. You got to have a revelation. You got to be able to see yourself in the Word. You got to be able to see yourself in Christ. You got to be able to know that that's where you came from and that's where you're going back to. You've got to know it. You've got to know it to such a point that you have a confidence that you can do what Brother Branham said, and you can create that atmosphere around you, and you can live in it. You can live in a different atmosphere than the people of the world, a different place than the rest of the people in the world. We're pilgrims. We're going through this Satan's Eden. We're going through it. We're not stopping here. But that's the problem when we're trying to let off the pressure. Where do we try to let it off, sis? Where are we trying to let it off? Where? Where? I went to visit relatives. I can't remember if it was a car show or what it was. Years ago, we went up to Pennsylvania, and some of them decided they wanted to play golf. I'm not a golfer, but I decided to go with them. You know, it was a family thing. We were going up there. You could see the cooling towers from Three Mile Island where we were at. It's kind of creepy, kind of weird. Some of you all aren't familiar with Three Mile Island. They had some kind of a meltdown back in the 70s and just about had a disaster, a nuclear disaster there. But anyway, we were playing golf, and we're going out through there, and I'm like, I'd never played before. I think I had borrowed clubs or something from the place. And we get about halfway through, and I need to use the restroom. So I'm walking back to the clubhouse, and there's this guy. He's teeing up, and I knew enough to know you stand real still and be real quiet. Don't do anything when you walk up on somebody that's getting ready to hit a golf ball. And so I was being courteous. I stopped for a second while he did that. Well, he swings. He's there. He's getting prepared to take his shot, and he's getting all lined up, and he's looking, and he looks through a little scope, and he does all this stuff. It was really interesting, you know, to watch him. He was so into it, and he takes a swing, and he was looking this way, but the ball went that way. All of a sudden, he started cussing a blue streak. He ran over to this little tree that was nearby, and he started swinging his golf club at that tree. And he beat and beat and beat that golf club till it went almost completely a U-shape. The golf club, he almost wrapped it around the tree. And then he just fell down on the ground and sat there and put his hands on his head like this. And I was walking by him, and I said, I can't remember what exactly I said, but I said something, and he just shook his head, and it was just going like this. And I thought, my goodness, boy, I wonder if he came out here to relax, you know? I wonder if he came out here to have a good time. I mean, this man went into an absolute fit, And I thought, wow, he must be really enjoying this. He must have a really good day. I thought, my goodness. The things we do to try to let off the pressure, and you know, there's nothing wrong with if you like golf, that's fine. I'm not into that, but if you like it, that's fine. That's fine. Brother Branham says, man is trying to find something to satisfy, and he thirsts. He thirsts. There's a thirst there. There's a hunger there. There's something that you know you need something. And God made him to thirst. God made us that way. We were built up that way, but God built him that way so that he thirsts after him. But he tries to satisfy it and hush that holy call in him with things of the world. And we have no right to do that. Did you hear that? We have no right to do that. Now, is he saying you have no right to play golf? Do you like golf, brother? Okay. You know, but if you did, I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, I guess, if that's what you want to do. But it's what you make of it, what you think of it, what you're looking at, what you're trying to get from it.
Yes.
Are you trying to get something from a golf club that you're trying to get from God, that you should be getting from God? You're trying to get something from a boat that you're trying to get from God? Are you trying to, you know, with the things of this world, are you trying to satisfy? You know, they talk about Gatorade all the time. They talk about it being a thirst quencher and all this. There is nothing better than the pure, sweet water that God made us to quench your thirst. It's nothing better than that. I drink Gatorade and I start spitting cotton. I'm like, you know, I mean, it might be good to get some nutrients back in you or something like that, but this right here will quench your thirst. This will take it because that's what it was made for. That's how God designed it. And it's a lot better than Gatorade, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And we have no right to do that now, but the people do wrong constantly. Instead of going to the place, going to the place to get rid of the cause, we try to hush it with anesthetics and liquor and smoking, putting more to it, heaping it up all the time, making it worse. And all this only builds up pressure. It just makes it worse all the time. Everybody here that's ever had a problem, a sin in their life that they had to overcome, that maybe God took it from you instantly, or maybe it took you a while to fight it. You know, maybe you smoked cigarettes at one time. Maybe that was your stumbling block. And you smoked it, and you tried to quit, and you tried to quit, and you tried to quit, and it just kept drawing you back and drawing you back because you'd get so nervous when you didn't have that cigarette. You'd get so stressed out when you didn't have that cigarette. And you'd take a puff of it, and all of a sudden you feel calm. Your blood vessels were constricting. It was bringing carcinogens into your body by the, but for that moment, maybe you felt relaxed. Maybe you felt a little bit better. Of course, your blood pressure was going up and you didn't know
it.
Your heart was getting ready to explode. You were getting one step closer with each puff. But, you know, nobody wants to tell you that. They just want to think about the part where it makes you feel a little less nervous for a minute or two. But then 15 minutes later, you start feeling nervous again. You know, Brother Branham talked about an opiate for the Christians. It comes from a different place. It comes from the lily of the valley.
Amen.
You know, there's flowers where they derive the opium. And we know about that, and you know, for the pain medication. But there's one thing that'll numb the pain of this world, and that is Jesus. That's the lily of the valley. That's where our peace comes from. That's where everything that we need comes from. You know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Now, I want you to, you know, also in letting off of pressure, Brother Branham he spoke out of the book of Numbers. And I'll read a little bit from there. I don't want to read the whole thing. We'll kind of condense it just a little bit. In Numbers 35, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares." Now, what's this talking about? The King James English is beautiful, but sometimes you have to just lay it out in plain language. You have to tell people what it's talking about. He said, you need to make these cities. When you come over into the promised land, you need to make these cities. And what they're for is if somebody accidentally kills somebody, because Brother Branham said at the time, it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you accidentally killed my brother, you took my brother from me. I'm coming after you. I'm going to get you. There's somebody going to be appointed from the family as the avenger of that wrongful death. Even if it was an accident, this man had the right to kill you, as long as he didn't kill you in anger, as long as he killed you as a transaction. It was weird the way that it was laid out, but if you read it, this is what the Lord was telling him. He said he can kill the person, and he's totally fine as long as he doesn't do it in anger. It's very strange, isn't it, the way it works? But he said, you build these cities. Imagine God telling him this. I mean, you would think this might happen once in a while, but is this going to happen every day? How is this going to happen? You know, I mean, accidentally kill somebody? How often does that really even happen? Well, you hear about manslaughter, don't you? It's in the courts every day. It happens every day. This is something that God made an allowance for then, but he was foreshadowing something in our lives. Something that was going to open up and help us in this day.
Yes.
In this day, he was going to help us. There are cities of refuge in the Old Testament where they could come to. If you were chopping down a tree and the axe head flew off and it hit your brother in the head and killed him, he might have been your best friend. You go to the city of refuge, you plead your case, they let you in. The manslayer could not come in after you. If he did, he was considered a murderer and he'd be put to death. So he was not allowed to come in there, but you had to stay in there. You had to stay in that city. If you ventured outside of that city, you were fair game for the manslayer. I can imagine somebody, he just killed his best friend. It was a complete accident, brother. You would never kill your best friend on purpose. Yeah, I mean, that'd be the worst thing you could imagine. You would never do that. But to kill him on accident, how could you even live with yourself? It would tear you up. You would understand why the family might want to take your life. They might not know whether or not you were telling the truth. Maybe he killed him on purpose. Maybe this, maybe that. But you know that was your best friend and you didn't mean to kill him and you're heartbroken. But the only place of refuge you've got is one of these cities of refuge that God allowed for. And you run to it. You run to it with all your might and you get there. And the manslayer is waiting outside the gate. And he's saying, let me in. Let me in. I need to get to him. And the gatekeeper's standing there going, no, you can't come in here. You can't come in here. You're not allowed to come in here. And if you did slip over the wall somehow and get to him, you'd be put to death. Right. There's no way you can do it. He's absolutely out of your control now. You can do nothing about it. We deemed it necessary to let him in, and you have no right to him whatsoever. Now, if he steps out, that's between you and him. He's fair game. You can kill him if you want to. It's a strange situation, isn't it? It's a hard thing to look at. It's a really hard thing to look at. You know, the other day, I had to meet a realtor. This girl has been bothering me. She's been calling me and harassing me for 2.5 years. Finally, I gave in. I had a little mobile home that we fixed up that we're going to try to flip. And I had this girl, she'd been wanting to be my realtor and calling me and calling me and calling me. Finally, I said, well, you know, persistence like that, she's probably a good salesperson. I'll talk to her and see what she wants to do. Let's see what she has to offer as far as selling this for us. So I went to meet her, and before I went to meet her, she called and she said, do you mind if I bring somebody with me? And I said, well, I assumed you were. I said, I'm glad you asked, but yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't want my daughter going out to meet some strange man in a strange house and not know anything about him. I said, that's just good common sense. I said, I applaud you for that. She seemed like a good, upstanding young girl. Seemed real sweet, sound down to earth, just seemed like a real nice person on the phone and everything. Well, I got there and I was waiting and the two cars pull up and there's a man in one car and she was in the other. She gets out and I thought, my goodness. I mean, there's worldly and then there's worldly. I mean, my goodness. I was expecting this girl almost with braids and braces the way she sounded on the phone. She got out and she was a shark. I mean, a shark. I'm talking, she was dressed for a nightclub, not a business meeting. She had everything showing to the point where I had to talk to her the whole time doing this, looking up into the air the whole time. Couldn't hardly make eye contact with her because she had almost nothing on. And what she did have on was skin tight. I even to the point where I told the guy, I said, you need to tell her to dress before she comes to play. This isn't very professional. I told the man that was with her that before I left. I was like, my goodness. But this girl, she was driven to make money. Driven. This whole persona that she had, the whole thing that she had, it was driven for a reason. Most men fall right into that trap. Most men respond to that. Most men will give in to that, and that's what they're interested in. And she could talk a man in about anything, I believe, the way she looked, if he was a worldly man. She could talk him into about anything. Because, I mean, she had a purpose. A very strong purpose in what she was doing. And I thought, Lord, she's so far from you. And I felt sorry for her. I felt really sorry for her. I told her, she said a couple of cuss words, which really took me by surprise while she was, and so I told her I was a minister. I wondered, hush. Most people have enough respect, won't they, brother? I mean, they find out that you're a preacher. Most of the time they'll at least apologize for cussing if they do cuss. Well, she, instead of saying the cuss word, she'd say the letter, the first letter of the word. I thought, well, that's respect. There you go. That's the most respect she could conjure. At least it was respect. It might have just been a whisper of respect, but it was there. There was a little bit. So I thought, well, maybe there's some hope for her. But, you know, here's the thing. And this is what we've got to understand. This is where you've got to seek God. This is where you've got to pray. This is where you've got to have your own experience. This is where you've got to meet the Master. This is where you've got to be the one to go in the tower. I can't take you into the tower. I can't drag you there. And I would if I could. Believe me, I would. If I could drag you there, I would. But here's the thing. Brother Branham said in leadership, he said, I'm going to give you the condensed version of this. There, I got lots of quotes here. I had 5 pages of notes, and I told Lisa the other night I preached a little bit long, and he's given me a lot more to preach on here, and I thought, well, I added about 6 more pages, and I said, that long sermon I preached, I said, I got about 6 more pages, so I had to cut some of it out, so I'm going to condense it a little bit. Brother Branham said, no matter how good you are, what you quit doing, what you start doing, you've got to accept the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The person. Not the idea. Not the philosophy. We're talking about a person here. We're talking about our King. We're talking about our God. He's not a philosophy. This is the biggest, this is one of the biggest walls that people have to get over. This is one of the biggest things that people can't seem to understand. We're not talking about a God. We're talking about the God. We're talking about the person, Jesus Christ. You have to know the person. You have to get to the person. You have to be in the person. You have to have your own experience. I would drag you into the tower. I swear I would. I went out to be a fireman one time, and there was part of the test where you had to pick up this dummy and drag it. It weighed 170 pounds, and you had to drag this. It was, you know, the size of a man, and you drag it through this obstacle course. Everybody was littler and smaller than me and faster. And that was one part of the course where I whipped them, and I caught up on the time, and I got number one on the physical part of the test because I grabbed that dummy up, and I threw it over my shoulder, and I ran through the obstacle course. I didn't drag nothing. And believe me, if I could run out and grab people and run into the tower and throw them down, I'd be running until I had a collapse, until my heart exploded. I'd be bringing people into this tower. I'd be bringing them into Jesus. If I could do it, if I had the power to do it, I'd bring them in. But I can't drag you in. You've got to go yourself. It's got to be your decision. You've got to reach out to Him. You've got to become desperate. You've got to pray. You've got to hit your knees and find God for yourself. You've got to know Him for yourself. I can't know Him for you. I can introduce you, but I can't know Him for you. You've got to do it yourself. You have to become desperate if you're not. Brother Branham talked about how you had to check your desires. Is your desire to know Him? This tower is a man. It's not a wall with bricks and mortar. It's a man. You might climb the wall to a city. You might get in. You might be safe from an arrow or a spear or a sword. But to get into Jesus, you've got to come in a totally different way. By just meeting Him. You've got to go to the gatekeeper. You've got to go to Him. You've got to talk to Him yourself. No matter how good you are, what you quit doing, what you start doing, you've got to accept the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you do that, He is the Word. And then your life fits right into the Word, and it manifests itself to the age that you're living in. When I met this realtor, Jesus was manifested to her. And you said, Brother Wes, you calling yourself Jesus? Yes. And you should be too if you're a born-again Christian. If you've got the Holy Ghost living in you, you're the only Jesus they're going to see. You're the only one they're going to know. I have to manifest Him. The world has to see me. They have to see Jesus. The world, when it sees you, they have to see Jesus. Not just the preacher. It has to be you. The life of God in you, manifested to the world. That's what we're about. That's what this kingdom is. While we journey through this land, that's what we're doing. Yes. We're introducing people to Him.
That's right, Mike.
Hallelujah. This girl, I thought this is terrible. I may be the only Jesus she meets for who knows how long. I might be the only one she sees, the only one she comes in contact with. How can I affect her? How can I get through to her? How can I see? Now, you say, well, Brother West, you get her phone number, you're going to call her? No, that's not what I'm talking about. You know better than that. You know what I mean? But when I find myself in the presence of a lost and dying person, they've got to find something in me that they can reach out for. At the very least, I want them to think of me when they come to the bottom of their barrel. Yes. Whenever it is, and I want them to think, you know, I met this guy one time, and there was something that was different about him. Yes. I met this woman one time, and there was something different about her. Yes. I could tell there was a love in her that I didn't see in other people. That's what you want them to say. That's what you want them to see. So that they'll know there is something to seek after. Yes. This world's trying to, the devil's trying to get to the point where people don't even know there's anything to seek after.
That's right. Amen.
He's real.
Yes, he is.
And they don't know it.
Right.
To her, I couldn't break through her idea that, okay, he's a preacher, so I guess I'm not supposed to cuss. I wanted so badly for her to see something where she would say, that's not just a man. There's something different. There's something there that other people don't have. You have to be around somebody a little sometimes for them to see that. I'll admit that. Sometimes you do. But sometimes you've got enough of Jesus in you. If you're turned over to the Lord and you're filled with the Spirit, you got enough Jesus in you to meet somebody in the grocery store line and they'll say, there's Jesus.
That's right.
They'll come up and ask you. They've come up to my wife before in the grocery store. See, if I can tell you're a Christian, would you pray for me? My daughter's got cancer. Will you pray? They know. They know. God will speak through you. They know. Brother Bram said, now, if you were in his thinking at the beginning, if you've got eternal life, there is only one form of eternal life. Eternal life had no beginning and has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. Now, did you hear this? Now, I want you to listen. You got to take a breath, and you got to think for a second.
Yes.
You got to think with your spiritual brain, not your flesh brain. It's no good. You got to get down to that heart, and you got to open yourself to this word. You've got to hear what the Lord's trying to tell you this morning.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We have heard for years, and we almost all, probably some of the youngest ones in here, know that before God created everything, he wasn't even God.
Yeah.
Because when he existed alone, he wasn't God, because to be God, you have to be an object of worship. There has to be something to worship you, or you're not God. I'm telling you what Brother Branham already said, so this is nothing new. Nothing new. So when he created the angels and they started worshiping him, he became God. Or, you know, when he started with creation, there was something there to worship him. Mm-hmm. Before he ever did that, you were an attribute.
That's right.
In his mind. You were there. You were part of God. Before he was even God, you were in his mind. Now think about that. He had it in him to be a healer. We've all heard this. We've all accepted this. God had it in him to be a healer. And so Jesus came, manifested himself as a healer. In shadow and in type in the Old Testament, and then in person in the New Testament, we see him manifesting himself. Here he is. Here he is. He's manifested. He's a healer. That attribute was in God. We don't have any problem with that. We don't have a problem with that. We know he was a healer before there was anybody to heal. And then after somebody got sick and he healed them, then he was manifested as a healer. We know he was manifested as a father. We know he's manifested as a savior. We know all the things he was manifested as. We know what that is. But why do we have trouble believing that we are manifested attributes of God? Why do we have trouble believing that? Why do we have trouble seeing it? Why do we have trouble holding on to our peace? You know, there's a place of peace that this world does not offer. I have tried to find peace myself in my younger days and even in recent days. You'll find yourself doing it. You're trying to find a moment's rest. You say, well, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. You know, it'd be nice if we had whatever. I mean, you name it. Everybody's got their own different thing that they're into, whether it's golf or a boat or a trip, or whether it's a hobby or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Some people make religion. And this is a scary one. They make religion their tower of refuge. Religion. That one scares me more than anything, brother. That one scares me more than anything. because that would make me a devil standing here behind this pulpit. If I come here with my own agenda, seeking my own end, it would make me a devil. Make me a manipulator. Make me somebody trying to control you. That religious tower, it's so close. It's so close. It's so deceiving. It's such a terrible thing because it deceives everyone in the religious world. And we want to put that on the denominational systems that are out there. We want to put it on all of that. But how about right here? Not on these pews, but right here. Come deeper. Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down. Not somebody sitting next to you on the pew even, but bring it down to your own heart.
Yes. Yep.
Bring it down. Yes. Bring it down to you. Yes. Where do you stand? Where are we? What are we looking to? Who are we looking to? What are we manifesting? Where do we find our peace?
That's right, brother.
Where do we find our rest? Well, honey, let's try to, as soon as church is over today, let's slip out the back door as fast as we can. Let's get home. Maybe we can get a nap and get a little rest. I'm so weary. I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. There's nothing wrong getting a nap. There's not a thing wrong with that. If that's what you need, take a nap. But you know what? You're not going to get your rest. That's not where you're going to find your rest. It's not. You're going to find your rest in the atmosphere that's in the tower. When you're in Christ, when you're in Him, that's the only place that you're going to be able to find that rest that you're seeking. You know, we'll skip on down to verse 26 there in Numbers. It says, Numbers 35, it says, "But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, the revenger of blood, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood." Now, we talked about this a minute ago, but he's stalking around. He's out there. He's out there. He's outside the city. He's outside the walls of our refuge. He's outside the safety of the tower, the strong tower that we live in, that we're supposed to live in, that we're supposed to exist in. And we always look out there. We're always looking out there. It's easy when we're in church. It's easy when we're among the other saints. When all the licks of fire get together and we got a bonfire going, it's so easy to sit here and get lifted up and get excited and say, yes, 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 victory, victory, victory. But when you go outside and it's just you and your tower, it's just you and the Lord, and you start looking outside the border of that tower for something to let off the pressure, anything to let off the pressure, anything just to let off the pressure. You know, the Lord looks at us and He goes, "You live below your means. You're living below your means." And we hear those things and we go, "Yeah, amen, amen, that's right. Yeah, we know we live below our means." How do you change it? If you look out the window, you know, if you look out the window and you see your children outside playing in the snow, no big deal, right? But what if they're out there with no gloves on their hands, no mittens, no boots, no coat, no toboggan? They're out there running around, you know, in their pajamas in the snow and at 10 degrees outside. What would you do, mothers? What would you do? The dads would be like, "Look at them crazy kids." The mom would be like, "What are you doing? Get back in this house. You're going to catch your death of cold. Get back in here. I gave you mittens. I gave you boots. I gave you a coat. I gave you a hat. Why are you out there in the snow? What's the matter with you? You want to get pneumonia?" Can you see God? Can you see God? I gave you faith. I gave you faith. I gave you love. I gave you perfect love. I gave it to you. It's yours. Why don't you put it on? Why don't you get in the atmosphere of God? Why don't you let off your pressure before your King? Why don't you come to me and let me embrace you with my great love and bring you to a place of comfort and take the pressure of this world off of you? Why don't you let me do that? Why don't you let me?
Amen.
Why don't you let me help you? You got blood pressure problems? Why? Why? I'm not just provided you healing. That's one of my attributes, but you're my attribute.
Lord.
If healing's one of my attributes,
Amen,
and you're one of my attributes,
Amen,
what are you doing with high blood pressure?
Amen.
Where's the pressure coming from?
Lord.
Where is it? How's this world pressuring you? How's this world hurting you? Why are you letting it? After all I've given you, I gave you a toboggan for your head. I gave you mittens for your hands. I gave you a coat to keep you warm, a new coat. I gave you boots to keep your feet warm. I've given you a shield and a sword and a girdle and a helmet. I've given it all to you. Why don't you put it on? Why don't you put it on? When you start to feel the pressure of this world, why don't you think instead of, oh, man, let's skip church today and just go, you know, go have a picnic somewhere, and maybe we can just let off some of the pressure. You know, I know, you know. Why don't you call the boss, take a day off, and go do that? And then run into those doors. Run into those doors when they open. Run in. Let the pressure off at the feet of God. Let the pressure off that way. You know, people carry, they carry Rolaids in their pocket more than chewing gum these days. I mean, this is a nervous, terrible age. You know? It's a nervous, terrible age. People are so stressed out. They're so angry. You know, Brother Branham talked about the hot rods, and you know, a kid feels a lot of freedom when they get their license, they first start driving. Doesn't matter if it's their car or dad's car or whoever. They're going to fly if they ain't got good sense. And and you really have to watch them close. But they are going to fly because they feel that taste of freedom and they want to take off like a rocket and they want to run from their problems. And they want to embrace that feeling of freedom that you get going 90 miles an hour down the road. They want to feel that. You've got to make sure they understand that's not the way you let off the pressure. You do that, more pressure's coming. That pressure's going to come in the form of a blue flashing light and a very, very, very angry Smokey. He's going to be right there, jerking you out of that car, shaking you around, asking you what you think you're doing. You're on 90 and a 20 in downtown Atlanta. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It's not pleasant. Letting off the pressure with worldly ways brings more and more. It compounds. It gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. Like the cigarettes. You know, Brother Branham was standing by that man at the World's Fair and they blew cigarette smoke through cotton or something and they taped it to a rat's back. And within a week, the thing was full of tumors and dying. Yeah. And he was standing there beside a man and he goes, "What do you think about that?" And he goes, "That's awful." And he goes, "Do you smoke?" And he said, Yeah, I do. Brother Branham's just like, goodness. Person can look right at that and they'll still grab that cigarette and smoke. They'll still do it. Think, well, I'll quit one of these days. Killing herself slowly, slow suicide, just willful slow suicide, trying to let off the pressure, just trying to do something that's outside of God's will, outside of His way. You know, in John 14, verse 19, says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me."
That's right.
"Ye see me." Yep. See, we see something the world doesn't see. Yep. Our eyes have been opened.
Yes, Lord.
And instead of being grateful that our eyes are opened, sometimes we make ourselves sadder. Oh, you mean I got to go into the tower? It's Sunday. I wanted to sleep late today. I got to go in. Sometimes I don't know why God doesn't just strike us down with lightning. I don't know. The attitude we get sometimes, the thanklessness.
That's right.
You know, it just, thankfulness always brings on God's Spirit. Amen. Thankfulness always brings you to a place of rest. Being thankful to God, being aware of what He's done, and making note of it and speaking it. And just saying, "Lord, thank you."
Yes.
Thank you. Just saying those simple things will bring His presence. Just saying those simple things. "Enter my gates with thanksgiving."
Yes.
Enter my gates. Enter the tower.
Yes.
Enter the tower with thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jesus.
Start to see Him. Start to appreciate Him. Start to love Him the way He deserves to be loved.
Yes, sir.
He deserves to be loved,
yes,
appreciated,
yes,
and thanked. And when you start thanking Him, if you're like, "Brother Wes, I just don't know how, I try. You just don't know what my kids are doing. You don't know what my husband's doing. You don't know what my wife's doing. You don't understand, Brother Wes, what my boss is doing. You just don't get it, Brother Wes. You don't live." Let me tell you something. I work at a psychiatric hospital, a full-time job. I pastor a church. I've got 4 children and 5 grandchildren, and I do side work on top of that. Don't tell me that I don't know anything about pressure. Don't tell me I didn't need this sermon just as much as you did. Okay, you might have a worse list than I got, but you got to at least understand I got a list, okay? I got a list. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also in my tower. My mighty tower. My tower. Let me tell you about my tower. Let me tell you about my tower. My tower picked me up when I was a worthless punk and I didn't deserve another breath. My God picked me up. My tower entered, let me come in. My tower changed my life. The atmosphere in there gave me love and peace when I didn't deserve it. It cleansed me. It made me whole. I came into that tower and I healed and I became a man of God instead of a servant of Satan. I became victorious instead of lost and undone. That's what my tower can do. Enter into those gates with thanksgiving. Enter in. Enter in with thanksgiving in your heart. Give Him a chance. Let Him be your God. Let Him be your God. I'm living also. He said, because I live, you live also. I'm living also. My God is not dead. My tower is strong. Nothing in hell can come against the gates of my tower. Nothing in hell can break those gates and get to me because I'm safely in my tower. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I am an attribute of God manifested on this earth in this day because He chose me to be here. He predestinated me to be here, and Satan will not break me. Brother, Satan will not break you. He won't 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 break any of you. If you are in this tower, you cannot be broken. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself in him. Don't be discouraged by the few little things that God asks of us. He's simply saying, look, I don't want you to have the devil's brand. I want you to walk around with my name all over you. I want you to represent the way the scripture says so that when people see you, they know you're different. Your hair is different. Your clothes are different. The way you walk is different. The way you talk is different. So that you will manifest the life that is in you, the life that you are in. Because He said, I'll be in you and you'll be in me and we'll be in the Father. It's all together one. It's all together one. We believe in one God. Can you believe you're a manifestation of that God? That's the faith you've got to have to make it in this rapture. That's what you've got to have. That's the point you've got to come to. You have got to manifest God. Sister, you manifested God when I was talking to you earlier back there in the library. Brother, you manifest God. You manifest God. You manifest God. And when you said that rapture is going to come between 6 and 9 in the morning, and it's going to sweep around the world, and we're going to go into the air and we're going to meet Him, it's because you're going to manifest in the life that is in you, the tower that you reside in, the atmosphere you live in, that is God. What's your desire? You want to be in there? Let me tell you something. From the time of your birth, into a world filled with sin, under the death sentence, under the death sentence of original sin, you came into this world. You start running for that tower. God starts leading you. He puts a lighthouse at the top of that tower so that you can find your way there. Some preacher somewhere, some little grandma praying for you somewhere, some brother at work that introduced you to the gospel, somebody who probably thought they were nothing that told you about Jesus. And there you are, you say, I see the light and I'm coming to it. And He opens your eyes and you find your way into that tower. Find your way in. That's the mercy and the love and the richness of our God. That's what's going to take us out of here. That perfect love. That perfect love. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. One God. One God. Ah, you love Him? You love Him? Let's stand. You know, this is a precious kingdom.
That's right.
This is a wonderful kingdom. This is a place to rejoice in and about. You know, the world wants us to be beat down. The devil wants us to be beat down. He wants us to be almost ashamed of our God, almost ashamed to speak about Him, to talk about Him. We should be shouting His name from the rooftops. We should be saying the name of Jesus everywhere we go. And if they want to think we're crazy, let them think we're crazy. But there's one thing they'll say. They'll say, you know what? They're happier than me. They might be nuts, but they're happier than me. That's what they'll say when they see it. You know, there's families that are being just, their houses, their livelihood, everything's being destroyed because of these storms. But there'll be a few there. They'll have a smile on their face. They won't just have hope, but they'll have faith in their heart. And they'll know that God's going to see them through it. And they know that other brothers and sisters will come to help them. And they know that God's got it all under control, no matter how it looks. And people are going to look at them and say, I just lost everything, and you just lost everything. Why are you not broken? Why are you not thinking about killing yourself? Why are you, why aren't you worried and crying? I said, my home's not been destroyed. I live in a tower. Let me tell you about my tower. Let me tell you about my tower. Just come to Him. Just believe Him. That's all He wants. That's the only requirement that He's ever had. Come to Him and believe Him. You got a need, come to Him and believe. Come to Him. Just believe. That's all he asked. You don't have to give Him money. You don't have to give Him anything. You don't have to build Him a big idol or a temple or anything. You are His temple.
Amen.
You're His temple, and He's living in you, and you're living in Him, and we're all in the Father.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat it. Where else would you want to live? Where else is people say, I wouldn't want to live in Florida right now. Well, you're not. Even if you're living in Florida, if you're a Christian, you're not living in Florida. You're living in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I'm so grateful that I know what it is to have a God, to have a King who's also my brother, who loved me enough to serve me even when I didn't deserve it. Oh, Lord Jesus, You've washed me, You've cleansed me, You've made my life worth living. You've given me blessings beyond measure, Lord. I can never thank You enough for everything You've done for me. Lord God, I don't see how any Christian could say anything different. Lord, we're so grateful that we've got a God who's real, a God with skin on it. God, I can look out here in this congregation. I can look into the faces of Jesus Christ. I can see Him all around me. And Lord, I know one day we're all going to be in You together in eternity with no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no nothing of the devil. The avenger will be outside of the gate, and not only will he be outside of the gate, but the dark forest will be gone. The avenger will be gone. There'll be nothing but light all the time. There'll be no shadow of darkness, no shadow of turning, no shadow of sin. We're coming to that day, Lord, and we're calling to You to come quickly. Come and get us, Lord. We want to go. Bring in the last one, Lord. Help us to find that last one and bring us in. We know the time's got to be short. This world is falling apart, Lord. It's going over the waterfall. It's disappearing, Lord. It's falling apart around us. It's going through our fingertips like sand through an hourglass. But You stand solid and strong, and we are in You, and we're so grateful. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for everything. We love You. We love You, Lord. We dedicate this service to You. And Lord, we just ask You to deal with the hearts of Your saints. Speak to each heart, Lord. We know that You can break the bread and feed the whole multitude. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Love you. God bless you. Thank you for being so welcoming and so kind to me and my family. I just can't tell you what it means. Thank you so much.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the name of the Lord. strong tower that the righteous run into. Oh, and they are saved. Oh, the name of the Lord is.
Yes, it is.
He's a strong tower that the righteous run into.
A tower, a strong tower, a strong fortress, a parapet. Hallelujah. Nothing can invade it. Every one of man's invention will fail. But when God created Jesus Christ, there's no end to him. He is the very creation of God. Hallelujah. And all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ is, he has poured into the church. We are his attributes. We are him. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Hallelujah. You believe that? Oh, praise God. I love him this morning. The pressures of this life will drive at humanity. But there's something greater inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. Friends, you know, that's what the church needs. It's the Holy Spirit. The problem with the church, the problem with the world, is they need God. If you have God, he will take care of the problems. You will have problems, but you will have a problem server. He'll solve all the problems in our lives. Amen. We need order in the church. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need God to supply your needs. You need the Holy Spirit. Because everything we desire is wrapped up in him. He is the one that faces all the pressures in this life. They say that a submarine, when it is built, they measure the intensity of the pressure by the depth of fathoms of the sea of the pressure. And they build the submarine with the same intensity of pressure by the fathoms of the depth of the sea that the submarine goes. Otherwise, if it goes beneath that pressure, it will crumble. So they make the submarine in such a way with certain pressure that when it drops into the highest intensity of the pressure of the sea, the pressure that's on the submarine cancels out the pressure that it's in. Praise God. I believe God has made a church, and he's pressurized us in this age to meet the pressure of Laodicea. And it doesn't matter how Satan increases the pressure, God has made us in such a way that greater the pressure, we are built to cancel the pressure on the outside. You believe it? We're built that way this morning. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Pardon me for preaching behind you. Amen. We certainly appreciate the Lord and a challenging message, letting off the pressure. That's all you got to do is let off the pressure. You got some grudge, you've got some hurts, you got some ill feelings, just go to God and let off the pressure. This is why you come to church. It's all right to let off the pressure. Sometimes you can't take it, you just have to stand up and praise God. Let out a glory, hallelujah. sing a song and worship the Lord in His great presence this morning. What a blessing. And the Lord just brought us a very timely message. Amen. To just let it go. Hallelujah. Just let it go. Amen. All you got to do is just let it go. Amen. He said, well, you don't understand my burden. That's the problem. It's yours. You got to give it to Jesus. You said, my sickness, that's the problem. It's your sickness. You got to give it to Jesus. Well, you don't understand. That's true. I don't, but He does. Hallelujah. You turn it over to Him, and He will take control of your lives this morning. What a blessing to be in the presence of the Lord, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with you. And we thank God for it. A wonderful sermon today. Service will resume on Wednesday evening here. To those of you online, shalom to you. By God's grace, I'll be thundering here Wednesday night. If you want to handle it, you're more than welcome to come. Amen. To church here on Wednesday evening. I'll thunder here by the grace of God. The Lord given me the strength to do so. So shalom to you. Appreciate the Lord. Let's sing one more song.